Hey, who do you blame more, the Sixers or Joel Embiid, for the failures over the course of the years of Joel Embiid's tenure? But did want to break it up a little bit and get to this from last night, because last night was the ESPYs. I'm sure, John, you were locked in on the ESPYs last night, weren't you?
I wasn't. But I was excited that it was the Mechanics-Bergian Shane Gillis hosting it.
Yeah, Shane Gillis was hosting. Now, a lot of the jokes that he told, I don't think we're going to be able to play on the air here. But he did have some things to say. Now, the Eagles won the award for best team in 2024, obviously winning the Super Bowl. And Shane Gillis had some things to say about some of the other nominees for the award. First off, here was Shane Gillis just kind of mocking some of these other nominees.
Also, UConn women, they could also win best team. UConn women, they played against pros, right, who were on the verge of a Super Bowl dynasty? No, never mind. That was the Eagles. Go Birds. Or the Florida Panthers, who won back-to-back, like the Chiefs, who everyone thought was unstoppable until the Eagles absolutely destroyed them. Go Birds. And the New York Liberty. New York, they're from a classy town in the Northeast where they invented America. Oh, wait, that's also Philadelphia. Go Birds. Though it was nice to see a basketball team from New York win something. Go Birds. So,
basically found a way to weave it into everything there.
That's awesome.
To bring it back.
That is so cool.
John, you're really enjoying that.
I am. Wow. Hey, I mean, I'm proud. Aren't you?
Proud of Shane Gillis?
Yes.
Sure. Why
he's
not?
He's from Mechanicsburg.
Yeah. Well, that,
and now
that's
he's
your
spreading that to everyone else. The world now knows that they should be on the same page as we are. They're on the Go Birds kick.
I did enjoy him taking a shot at some of those other teams. Now, he also took a shot at one of the Eagles' biggest rivals.
The Eagles are up for best team, Go Birds. Yep. And I bet you guys think, as an Eagles fan, that I'm going to trash all the other nominees, but far from it. I'm going to celebrate them. I think this race is wide open. It definitely is not obvious who the best team was this year. One of the nominees for best team is the Dallas Cowboys. No, I'm joking. Obviously, Dallas sucks. Go Birds. They're obviously not here. Only real teams are up for best team.
I love when John
That's
laughs.
Amazing, man.
John is so happy right now. This is making
you?
Him so... I mean, I enjoyed his set. I enjoyed his opening monologue there.
Man.
Brett Dallas Michaels. Sucks. Go Birds.
It's him and Brett Michaels, man.
The Mechanicsburg's finest.
The Mechanicsburg
finest.
Elite.
And then you.
What about you? Yeah, what about you? I mean, you're in that class, too.
Well, I mean, I can hope to try to, you know, emulate these Mechanicsburg stars.
Legends?
The legends of Mechanicsburg. This guy is awesome, though.
Well, there was one more that I don't know.
You've seen the commercial with him in Post Malone, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I haven't seen it. It's on every frigging commercial.
He's
of course
funny.
I've seen it.
He's funny.
Yeah.
His show Tires, it's not for everybody, but it's highly amusing to me.
Yeah, I got to check that one out.
Like
I've seen
it out.
Good reviews for that. Here was one more from Shane Gillis taking a shot at, I think, a team you might be a fan of, John.
Only real teams are up for best team. Like Ohio State football, who won the national championship but also lost to Michigan. Michigan, who didn't cheat this time. Beat them fair and square. Yeah, are we ever going to hold accountable? Yeah, whatever. They're allowed to cheat. No repercussions.
Now, I got to, why are you a Michigan guy again? Why are you a Michigan fan?
Well, I mean, I went there for... two seasons. I played two seasons there. I went there for, you know, a year and a half.
Wow, this makes me a bad teammate. I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
Yeah. No, I thought he just
your
went
son
to...
also goes
yeah,
there.
Yeah, his son goes there.
Oh, and your son goes there.
My son is going to be a junior.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know you went there.
Ripping him for being
know.
A bad teammate the last 2 days.
You're
yeah.
a terrible teammate.
Where did John... Did you go to Stanford?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought you went there the whole time.
I went to Michigan for a year and a half. I went to, and then I had to sit out a full calendar year because back then you had to sit out a full calendar year.
Right.
So that was January of 1995 to January of 1996. I was ineligible and then had to wait another half a year until I played. So I was at Stanford a lot longer than I was at Michigan.
Man.
But I was at both.
I can't come at you for being a bad teammate anymore. I didn't even know where you went to college. Do you know where I went to college?
No.
Just okay. Take a guess, John. You'll probably land on it.
Yeah, take a guess.
Temple.
Yes. Where do most people in this area go to college?
Three-fourths of the show right now.
Three-fourths of the show went to Temple.
Exactly.
So, the good guess, John.
Well, I mean,
you hit it on the nose.
I didn't know that for sure.
Yeah.
It's not
so
easy, not hard
I
to guess around here.
I fault you for not knowing I went to Michigan for a year and a half.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
And
guess.
But my son, I mean, my son going there now, like, I do think that's a big deal. I got a big M on my, well, a couple big M's all over my car. Now I got Pitt stuff because my daughter's going to Pitt.
Yeah, I saw your car. I parked
going?
Next to you yesterday.
Very
and I
cool.
figured that was your car. I didn't know why you had
I
the Pitt stuff on there.
I got my LBI stuff.
So
LBI
you'll be able to drive,
sticker.
Drop her off at Pitt and then continue on to Michigan?
On the way. Yeah, it really works great.
That's actually
everything
pretty nice.
Everything along the turnpike, the Pennsylvania turnpike, turning right into the Ohio turnpike, and then you
how long's
head
that,
north to Ann Arbor.
How long's that ride out to Ann Arbor?
It'll be eight and a half, nine.
All right. Well,
eight and a half,
not
really?
Awful.
Yeah, it's not
that's
bad.
It?
Yeah.
Because I know it's like 8 hours to Cleveland, I think, or Cincinnati, but you're going up.
Yeah.
I just know I have family out in Ohio, and I know how long it takes. How fast are you driving?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's fast.
Well, there you go. That was Shane Gillis. We'll have more from him coming up a little later on in the show. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Do you blame the Sixers or Joel Embiid more for this organization's failures? Also our side topic. Give us somebody that's multi-talented. That is our side topic today. Let's go to Andy in Deptford. What's up, Andy?
Morning, team. We live. We sticky hot out there today. Yo, Richie, man, you a fraud for not supporting your teammate, my guy. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. You think that afternoon show don't take shots at you? You're wrong, my man. You don't listen. Because your crying clip, they play that anytime they get a chance to hear you crying.
Oh, they do play that
a
lot.
They do.
Oh, all
the time
they did that.
Then
I mean,
you had your teammate, Joe DeCamera, who you're unsupportive of. I mean, you probably never not supported any teammates. You probably had never had this feeling in your life, not supporting teammates. But Joe DeCamera, the same guy who did a whole summer of John looking to try and find you a girl because you couldn't find a girl on your own, right? That's the guy that you just turn your back on? Like, come on, John, man, you suspect for that, man. Back your teammate up. Be a real teammate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it with you with that. Like, you're going to let these guys continually play you, play James, play Joe, play your show that your name's stamped on.
I still haven't heard myself getting flayed.
Because you don't listen, John. Anytime you play that Jason Kiss, they play that all the time of you crying, bro, to try and play you.
But I
you
did that.
You don't listen to the radio when you get off. So, of course, you're not going to hear it. But everyone else hears it.
So, but and that was me. And so why is that offensive to me that they play it now,
if that's not
Andy?
Offensive, if that's not offensive to you when you hear that and everyone else hears it on the radio, then maybe you may want to start questioning some other things, John. But that is an offensive soundbite. For anybody that hears it, I mean, for another man crying over a center retiring, it's kind of embarrassing, if you ask me.
Well, I don't know, Andy. It sounds to me like you're a little insecure. You don't cry at all?
Of course, but I'm not crying when a center retires that
hit
I have
him,
no
man.
Connection with. And, you know, in my opinion, isn't even one of the greatest Eagles of that time. I mean, because we did win the Super Bowl the next year after he retired. But I'm just saying, like, that wasn't a good soundbite, and it's not – they're not playing it to have you look in a favorable fashion. They're playing it to try and play you.
What do you got on the Sixers, Andy?
As far as the Sixers go, I mean, we're talking about probably the worst run organization in all of sports, period. All of sports. You got two of the worst NBA contracts. You had the whole process where you had all the assets, all the picks – and they made all the wrong moves. I mean, you're trying to come at Embiid. The team, a player was brought into a losing culture, you know, brought around losing his whole career with this organization, never held him accountable. So, I mean, I got to blame the Sixers. Embiid definitely has some blame in this as well. But, you know, if you're in school and the principal's letting you do whatever you want, nobody's going to get on the students. You're going to get on the principal.
Well,
so I
hear you, Andy. What do you got for our side topic today?
What was it? What was the question?
Somebody who's multi-talented.
Somebody multi-talented. Not John Ritchie for not supporting his teammate. Let's go with... How about the king of pop, Michael Jackson? Could sing, could dance, could do it all, man.
All right, there you go, Andy. Appreciate the call. I don't endorse everything Andy said, John, just for the record. I think if, you know, Jason Kelce, that was an emotional day. I get it.
Thanks.
No problem. I was trying to help you out,
and
trying to voice some support.
Into some stuff. I mean, it was early. It tapped into some stuff I didn't know it would, and yeah, it was. It happened. I don't know why or how. Sometimes stuff like that happens.
This is really.
Oh my god! There we go. Bad teammate.
I just think
Dan
Andy,
Wilson.
Job, let's be honest. Andy's an emotionally insecure man. That's the way I feel. I think Andy's got to act like he's some big tough guy. He never cries. Nothing ever upsets him. I think Andy's a little bit of a fraud. I don't know.
Wow.
Andy,
those
just
are fighting words.
He annoys the hell out of me.
No.
I'm not gonna lie to you.
Do you think you could beat Andy up?
I don't know. I'm not gonna, you know, challenge Andy to a
I
fight.
Guess that's what not
you,
the right
why
thing
are you
to
always
ask.
Trying to set up fights?
No,
trying to set up a boxing match with Buzz and I the
I
few
thought
ago?
That was an awesome
that's
idea.
Not,
you
that's
guys
not
said
happening.
It would have been doable.
Yeah, I think I don't think that
we could do
cleared.
It before the tennis match.
Yeah,
guys.
We'll do it before
By the way, you think that'd be fun?
It might be fun. I mean, yeah. I mean, Buzz has a bit of a punchable face.
When I was growing up.
If you can reach it.
Yeah, exactly.
See, this is nice. I like the little... Hold on. When I was growing up, my dad used to put me out in the front yard and with my friends, and he got a bunch of boxing gloves for us, and he would have us, like, box off. It was awesome.
Sounds like a horrible idea.
No, well, it some days it got horrible because, you know, people would haul off and start picking on people. And
did you ever get your ass kicked out there?
Yeah, absolutely.
And your dad was just watching you get beat up?
Yeah. Well,
would all the dads come over and, like, place bets on this thing?
I don't know.
That's probably what was going on.
I don't know. But in most cases, he was trying to teach us to box. In most cases, that's what happened. But... You know,
did you learn to box?
A bunch of not well, but it was fun. And then you'd square off with your friends, and you'd, you know, have little sparring matches with each other out in the front yard. You guys can do the little sparring match in the front yard thing, and that'd be a lot of fun for everyone.
Maybe we'll do it before tennis, but I got to ask you: have you started your ball man training yet? Have you started to train for the tennis event?
Because
we figured that out yesterday. You're going to be the ball man. For the Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie, or the Joe DeCamera, Jack
I
Fritz
am
tennis
the
match.
Ball man.
Yes.
What was that? How did. So maybe, yeah, I'll get my outfit. I guess that's the only way I need to get ready. I need to get like a
short
white.
Short shorts. Yeah.
White?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. He's got to go all out on this.
White short shorts.
White
that's,
short
that's
shorts.
That's awesome.
High white
the
socks.
White short
you should
shorts
have the,
with the socks.
Yes.
You should have the
yes.
tube. You should go with the
so
tube
good.
Socks.
Okay.
100%.
Yeah.
Tube
I,
socks.
I don't have white short shorts, though, man.
White shirt and a white headband. I think that's exactly
okay,
how you
okay,
need to look.
Okay, okay. Who was the headband guy?
John
was
McEnroe?
It, no. Bjorn Borg,
oh, Bjorn
maybe?
Borg, yeah.
Yeah. I would love to try to pull that off.
All right. I'm excited for this. I'm way more excited than I am for the tennis match just to see John out there
flagging
balls.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. This is, when is this going to happen?
I think tentatively next week, but I'm not, these aren't
yeah,
my
Rod decisions. Had said maybe, and I said, well, can it please be Monday and Tuesday because I go on vacation on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
So, but he wasn't sure because it's going to be at the Lakes, FDR, which is my son's home tennis courts. as he plays for Roman. And I'm like, this is perfect. I mean, it's literally around the corner from my house.
What are you more excited for? Are you more excited for the match or to see John out there as the ball man?
Oh, God, John out there.
Yeah.
That'll be highly entertaining.
Ball man.
Yeah.
What is the song that I... Why is there a song in my head? I am the day man. What is that?
Oh, from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The night man. The night man.
Master of the night man.
Yeah, that's what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Did we get clips of that or something? Like we.
Sure. We'll play coming back from the next break.
Okay.
Buzz can get that. And now, do they have one?
I am the ball man.
Do they have one ball man or do they have two ball men for these events? Is it just one guy or two?
No, there's many more than two ball men.
Well, I think.
You've got two at the net. You've got one in each corner and two at the net in the high level of play events.
Well, I was going to say, Buzz should be the backup ball man. Buzz, you look like you could be a ball man.
I'll happily be a
Buzz
ball man.
Buzz
wants any job for any of these things. You wanted on the baseball.
Ball
Buzz was trying to be the umpire, the scorekeeper,
yes.
The reporter.
I was the actually
play-by-play.
The reporter. Yes.
I know you were. You did, and you did a nice job with the reports. I'll give you credit for that one, Buzz. But yeah, Buzz could be your ball man trainer.
We had a uniform. The ball man.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be.
I
awesome.
Could see Buzz having a ball man.
We need a line judge for this. There's a lot of jobs to go around.
Yeah, yeah, there are for sure. 215-592-9494. You're listening to 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting live from the Tasty Cake Studios today. Talking a lot about the Sixers. Joel Embiid will continue reading from this piece. There's just so much to get to. But if you get the chance, go to ESPN.com.
You'll need about an hour.
Yes.
How long is it again?
At least an hour.
Dan?
13,367 words and 45 pages.
Yeah, Joel Embiid had a lot to say yesterday, but make sure you read it. It's very interesting stuff. And asking, you know, the failures of this organization over the last decade, who do you place it on more? Do you place it on the Sixers or do you place it on Joel Embiid? Now, I place more on Joel Embiid in totality. I think early in his career it was more on the Sixers. Later in his career, I hold Embiid more accountable because, hey, he's a grown-up now. He's not a kid anymore. And there are things that I think he never fully got. But I'll say this in his favor, I guess, and as kind of a knock at the Sixers. Is this organization still... It's just one that you can't really trust. And I look at this Paul George situation where Paul George getting the knee injury. And Daryl Morey spoke to the media, a few days ago?
He spoke on Friday. They announced on Monday that Paul George had had the surgery.
And I guess it just slipped his mind to mention this on Friday?
I'm going to try to connect the dots because supposedly he suffered the injury, according to Shams, and went to see a doctor on Friday. So I don't think there's, you know, in my mind, no way that he didn't know.
Of course he knew.
Because John, you would know better than me. Even in the off season, if you're under contract with the team and you get injured during a workout, do you not call the team so that when you go to the doctor, it's covered by insurance? I'm assuming that works like normal
Everything
people.
Everything goes through the team. I mean, when I retired, I didn't have any sort of doctors or anything.
You had to get them all.
I didn't have any health care. Everything always went through the team. You had the sniffles. You talked to someone at the building. Everything is there. I didn't even know how to weigh myself. Like, I didn't have that stuff at my disposal.
So if he got an appointment with a doctor, that was set up by the team.
Yes. And absolutely. No question.
And this is the part that's just so irritating. And hear Daryl Morey talk about last season. Here he was. This was a few months ago when he was on with Rice to Ricky Sanchez, Spike Eskin, obviously, here at WIP, and Mike Levin. Here was what Daryl Morey had to say about this past season and why it went as badly as it did.
It never started. Like, it, you know, Joel was hurt right away. Never really played to the level we know he can play. And then it was like we had a Paul injury, a Maxi injury, you know, really the whole Rod Drummond was out.
And that's the thing that bothers me so much is Daryl Morey talks like this stuff came out of nowhere. and that how could we have predicted these injuries happening? Well, you signed a 35-year-old guy who, I mean, again, is 35 years old, $212 million. That was a ridiculous idea. And you had another guy with a knee condition that you knew was degenerative who had just played basketball offseason instead of resting. So it's hard to absolve the organization when they do this kind of stuff, too. It's like it's very hard to place the blame on one spot, and it's just all the way around, just not good on either side. Let's go to Matt in West Philly. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how you doing? Good morning.
Hi, Matt. What's up?
All right. I wanted to start off with the Sixers first. So I feel like it's 80-20. I'm going to give 80% of the blame to the Sixers because this it has been going on for so long that you can't ignore it. Like, I still remember that year when Allen Iverson took us to the finals at first game one with the Lakers. I haven't felt that feeling since that night. I don't know if you were in the city that night, but the whole Philadelphia was so crazy. That was the best feeling. I haven't felt that feeling since that day with the Sixers. And it's like when – how many times have we changed management since then?
Wow. A lot.
A lot. Yeah. I mean, it's impossible to count how many times, but a lot.
So real quick, I've been with a company, and when you change, when they come in and a new management comes in, they usually go over all of the old things that were happening with the company that was messing things up, and they change. And you haven't seen any of that. Like all of the things that were going wrong, it's like they're still going on year after year after year. Nothing has changed. I don't know who's at the top of the food chain here, but they're not paying attention to all of the wrong mistakes that's been happening over the years. You just keep getting the same thing over and over and over. It keeps happening. I seen an interview with Andre Iguodala when he was here, and he said that when he was here, we didn't have a practice facility. He said when he got traded, what team did Andre Iguodala get traded to? When
he played for the Warriors for a long time.
Denver. He got traded to Denver in the Bynum trade, yeah.
Right. He said when he first went to Denver, they had a practice facility to go to. And he was so shocked and was like, oh, this is how it's supposed to be. And he didn't have any of that with the Sixers. He said they were practicing at the college.
But hold on, I will point this out because it was pointed out to me when I had my my debate with Elliot Shore Parks about whether or not Josh Harris was a good owner. He's like, they built this beautiful practice facility over in Jersey. When Allen Iverson was going to that college on Cityland Avenue, they actually went to the NBA Finals. So I'd just like to point that out.
Right. Okay. All right.
I understand what you're saying. As a player, you want a nice place to work. But that practice facility hasn't done a damn thing for the Sixers as a team. it was somebody pointed it out to me, and I just wanted to make sure I mentioned it this time.
Right. That goes back to the management, though. Who's running the show here?
Sure.
Yeah, and then, so it's just, like I said, I haven't had that feeling since Allen Iverson took us to the finals. Then with the Joel Embiid thing, you had the 20% that I put on him is that he went to the Olympics. He shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have went there. That's everybody saw that. That, like, why did you go when you weren't at 100% to start the season? And just the whole time he was here, the whole city can agree with him always being at the top of the key. You're the biggest man in the NBA, and you're always at the top of the key. That bothers everybody.
Well, yeah, I hear you, Matt. What do you got for our side topic? Who's multi-talented?
I will give it to Coach Prime, Deion Sanders.
That's a good one.
Great NFL player, great coach, and don't forget he had that hit song, Must Be the Money.
There you go,
and
Matt.
Baseball player.
Multi-sport athlete. Yeah. But that's a
He's
good one with Deion Sanders.
You know, I had a face-to-face. I played against Deion. I mean, like,
probably many times, right?
Many times. But there was one play where the tables were turned. You know, normally I would be in a situation against Deion Sanders where he would not want to be having to, you know, tackle me in the flat or something. It's like a short gain, but he's a cornerback. He doesn't want to have to tackle a fullback in the flat. That's not fun for a coverage cornerback.
Right.
But there was my rookie year. Man, we played, it must have been like early September. September 10th, September 12th, something early, because it was the hottest game I ever played in. A game that I had gashed my knee open in the first quarter to where my whole sock was bright red with blood. And I looked down like 2 seconds later and the sweat had washed the blood completely clean from my sock.
Wow.
It was completely white. It was incredible. I'd never seen anything like it. There was one of those big thermometers, you know, the big round ones that have the number where it goes 100, 110, 120, 130. And it was like down at like 140. Dude, on the AstroTurf.
How do you play in heat like that?
I was playing for the Oakland Raiders. So, of course, the Dallas Cowboys are in white because they're wearing white at home. So we're wearing black. And back then in Irving, Texas, there was the square hole in the top of that facility,
right,
where the sun at noon, because it's a noon kickoff central time, the sun is coming directly in that square hole, and I mean it is on top of the entire sideline of the opposing team, the Oakland Raiders, wearing black, you know, doing that. Anyway, it's early in the game, and the guy who's normally the personal protector on punt is Randy Jordan. And he got his bell rung or something. So I'm in there. I got to cover a punt, which is actually the way my career ended, by the way, covering a punt in Detroit. But anyway, Deion Sanders is the guy who's receiving this punt. And we're punting out of our end zone. So it's like, oh, man, not a great spot to be in. As the personal protector, like, I have to wait until I have to try to make sure no one's blocking this thing because we're in a risky spot. And then I got to get down there, release, and try to make the tackle. I was the only guy who was unblocked. So, like, somehow.
Did you make the play?
Listen, somehow I beat the blocking scheme. They probably messed up. Because I didn't defeat some guy who was trying to block me. But at some point, it was just me and Deion Sanders. He had caught the punt. It was me and Deion face-to-face in the open field, one-on-one. And I came nowhere near him. I didn't come any closer than you and I
are. I thought this was
going to
be a great story about how you got him.
Oh, yeah. My Lord. They always say when you're the first guy, you have to just throw. Just take a chance and throw on that guy and go for that hit. So I did that. I don't know what he did because he must have teleported because it was, I got nothing. And it really did look like I was 5 yards away from him as I was diving through the air fruitlessly.
Different.
And he ran the ball all the way down to the 0 yard line.
What was
and went
he like
bounds.
On the field? Was he a talker or just, or not?
Talked
or?
A lot. Talked yeah. a lot. Not so much to me because okay. he just thought I was such a non-threat, but he was also annoyed yeah. when he had to tackle me in the flat.
Different.
Because that's awful for a guy that size to have to deal with a guy who's 255, 260.
And think about that. Like, you're in the NFL. Like, you're obviously one of the top 1% athletes in the world at that point. Think about how athletic Deion Sanders is to make you look like that.
Yeah.
And he would do that to pretty much everyone.
To everyone.
It's crazy.
To everyone. He could teleport, man.
That's insane. 215-592-9494. Twitter poll question of the day at WIP Morning Show. The Twitter poll question sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Who do you blame more for the Sixers' failures, Joel Embiid or the Sixers? We'll continue talking about that. We'll read a little bit more from the piece, and we do have some more from Shane Gillis to get to, including little conversation that he had with Nick Sirianni during the award show. So we'll get to that as well. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera. This is the morning show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the morning show. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera today. This is amazing. Credit to Buzz and Vonnie here. During the break, they tracked down this play, John, where you whiffed on Dion. I still have not seen the video yet.
It's awesome.
But I got to check this
out. You got to see it. It's really funny.
Is it as bad as John kind of described it?
It's bad. I'm just now thinking back. There are a lot of plays that I can think of that I remember that are so cringy, and I'm afraid to ever acknowledge I did them. You know, like this. I didn't realize, man, we have this technology now where these things can actually be tracked down to this degree. You know,
I love that you were laughing at it, though.
Dan,
you
were, yeah, it's so like, bad. It is so bad. But, you know, again, I was unblocked. I was completely unblocked. I should have been able to just tackle this dude one-on-one.
Yeah, that's...
And you'll see. I came nowhere close. Nowhere close. And it was almost as if, to me, to my perception, on this hot day that felt like it was 145 degrees and humid in Irving, Texas, it felt to me like Deion Sanders teleported. Clearly, he did not teleport on this video. But in my eyes, I must have closed my eyes. I must have closed my eyes right before I threw, which is what they say. Like, when you're the first guy down, you try to make that tackle. You throw. Like, you dive. And I dove, and I came. I was so far from him. You'll see on the video, I end up trying to reach again with my hand, like, as grasping like I'm a creature from the Black Lagoon or something, as he's nowhere near me.
Are the bad plays a lot more vivid to you looking back than, like,
absolutely,
the great plays?
They stick out.
That's always the way it is, isn't it?
There's another one. I know that I talked about it. There was a photo of Junior Seau just destroying me, where a high pass over the middle.
He destroyed a lot of people. Yeah, John. I wouldn't take that too personally.
He rocked me, you know, like hit me right as the ball arrived. But my body went, you know, completely parallel to the ground, and so it looked ferocious.
Yeah.
I remember I couldn't chew right for like a month after that, and it hurt so bad. But I walked into NFL Films. This was after I retired playing, because I was doing some like NFL Europe games broadcasting from their headquarters there in Mount Laurel. And I walked up to the second floor. This was a few years after I'd retired. And there, not life size, this is bigger than life size, is a mural. A mural. Not just a tiny little photo preserved for posterity. A mural, like twice life size, of Junior Seau hitting me, and I'm parallel to the ground.
Wow.
And the ball's flying out.
Yeah.
And it looks so ferocious and awesome if you're a Chargers fan.
It's just amazing that they're the ones that stick out, because I'm sure you had a ton of great plays. Like, I only played in high school, but I remember all the bad plays more than the great plays. I mean, there were a lot more of the bad plays.
Well,
so.
You kind of remember both.
Yeah.
But the ones that, for some reason, the ones that really stick with you most, I do feel like it's like probably 2-1 bad to good.
Okay, there you go. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Talking a lot about the Sixers today, ESPN.com. Rhea, please help me out again. I keep messing up this guy's name.
Hold on. I got it. I just have to look at it right here.
Yeah.
Dotun Akintoye.
Dotun Akintoye.
Yes.
With the piece on ESPN.com.
I believe he's Nigerian.
Yes.
So.
Regarding Joel Embiid and the Sixers, and who do you place more blame on when you look back at this era? That's what we've been talking about today. And I mean, discussed it earlier with this piece, is you will come out of this, if you have preconceived opinions, you'll come out of it feeling stronger about your case. Like, if you think the Sixers doomed Joel Embiid's career, I'm sure you'll read this and you'll come out of it thinking that even more. I mean, they talked about early in his career. Reyes mentioned it during the updates. Apparently, an intern was the one overseeing Joel Embiid's recovery process. They still had disagreements this year about his injury and how to proceed. So I'm sure you'll look at it that way. If you are down on Joel Embiid, you'll probably read this piece and you'll come out of it thinking, well, Joel Embiid, look at all the things that he's done wrong. Look at the way he never got to the point he needed to take care of himself. You'll feel stronger about that. And it's really one of those things. It's in the eye of the beholder. I think there's blame to be placed on both sides. But in the end, I do put a lot more, maybe not a lot more, but I put more on Embiid, especially in the last couple of years. And I wanted to mention another piece of this real quick, because Embiid's asked about the more recent history, and especially what went down with James Harden. And it says, Embiid speaks of Harden with deep affection. He thinks the 76ers gave up too quickly on that iteration of the team after Game 7 against Boston. He says, I kept coming back to the continuity. When you feel like you have something, instead of building up upon it, you start over. And it's been like that every single year. I always told myself, I'll never be responsible for someone losing their job or getting traded or getting fired. So don't ask me about if we should sign a player or if we should trade
anybody. Didn't Harden demand to be traded?
Well, yes. After the Sixers had picked up his option.
He said Morey lied to him.
Right. Well, he was under the impression, I guess, that he was going to opt out and he'd get signed to the full extension here, which the Sixers rightfully did not do.
I agree with that.
But this is the problem that I have with you all here. Like, you can't go out the way that you guys went out in Game 7. Where, let's face it, we all watched the game. Embiid and Harden both quit. Like, they both quit in Game 7 mm-hmm. in Boston after not coming through in Game 6. You can't do that and have the history that you have in the postseason. James Harden have the history that he has in the postseason. And expect your fans to be excited about running that crew back. So whether Embiid wanted that or not, you got to come through, or else changes are going to be made. That's pro sports.
Unfortunately, it feels like when I read this article, and I'm still reading it in our breaks, it feels like his experience here in Philadelphia cemented and exacerbated the bad habits that were forming, you know, along the way, unfortunately. And it feels like just from the team trying to give him more like what he wanted in light of what NBA is now, you know, like it's teams who feel like they are player pleasers. You know, they need to try to lure guys to their attractive destination town because that's how it works now, where super teams form. This is all part of what broke Joel Embiid and why we can't trust that Joel Embiid will come back from, man, a nebulous knee injury that, once again, we don't really even know exactly what we're dealing with.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too, where I think what Joel kind of struggles to reckon with here is the responsibility that he bears as a star player. Like, as a star player, you're going to get the credit and you're going to get the blame. And I feel like he is accepting fully of all the credit that he receives, and rightfully so when the team succeeds, but he doesn't want that blame when they fail. What are you looking at? You got that video?
It's a shame. The video is one thing. John Runyon is telling me that the photo, the life size, and then some mural of myself getting like completely blown up and cut in half by Junior Seau,
yes,
is still there, third floor, right outside the IT department.
Let me see that.
Right outside the IT department. I need to see this photo.
Oh, I don't have the.
I thought you had the photo.
I don't have the photo. Right, well, no, look, the photo in question, the photo that we're talking about, I started getting my friends who I went to college with, from San Diego, who I went to school with at Stanford, he sent me the cover of the San Diego phone book.
Okay.
Because it was that picture of the San Diego phone book. Millions of San Diegans. That's the thing that they saw every single day. Remember, once upon a time when everyone had a phone book.
John, I got one delivered last week.
Wow.
I was stunned.
That's crazy.
And it's not as big as it used to be, but I'm like, why am I getting a phone book?
Yeah, I didn't think they still made phone books.
I got one delivered in my mailbox.
That's
a waste of paper.
Once upon a time, you actually used the phone
book. All the time.
Once upon a time, it was in the drawer of every single person in that city. San Diego, the drawer that they opened up with the phone book in it had me getting completely just decapitated.
It made me feel so old. Yes, like talking about phone books, stuff like that. I was explaining to my son yesterday, like, what the internet is and how I didn't have the, like, when I was a kid, I'm like, you couldn't just type things in
and
your phone.
And he's had an iPad since the day he was born.
He's like, well, how'd you find out anything? Like, how'd you, look stuff up?
Right. I'm
like,
you had to read.
Walk. You had to read a book.
To the library.
Yeah. Ride my bike to the library. Yeah.
It's crazy.
And check out books. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Talking about checking out books.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
They don't do that.
Still is not as much. 215-592-9494. Want to get on the Sixers. Do you blame more the Sixers or Joel Embiid? You're welcome to. Side topic today. Give us somebody that's multi-talented. And if you want to weigh in on John Ritchie supporting Joe DeCamera or his lack of support for Joe, you're welcome to. I'm a little disappointed. I felt like we were making some progress. I felt like I was breaking through to you
a little bit.
But I feel like the wall is back up today, John.
Here's the thing.
And you're not as open to supporting Joe as you were by the end of the show yesterday.
Why? Okay. Joe knows that I'm not supportive of his belief that he's a better athlete than Jack Fritz.
And I think the fact that you don't support him breaks his heart. I believe that.
Oh, really?
Okay, now I do.
This is ridiculous.
I think Joe is more emotional than you guys do.
Mm-hmm. I think Joe is completely practical. And I think if Joe wanted support for the baseball event, I think Joe probably would have scheduled the baseball event a different time than when my family and I were on vacation. Do you agree with that?
We got to do these events at some point, John. I mean, he's on vacation this week. Mm-hmm. If we
I'm going to miss it next week, probably.
Yeah, I mean, we got to get it done. I don't know. I'm sure he loves you, but we can't do everything on your time.
If it mattered to him, it would have been probably a thing that he wanted me to be supportive of him at. It would have been at a different time.
Well, maybe if you demonstrated that support, he would have taken you more into account.
That, of course, that's the thing. It's just not set up this way. What you should not try to insert your belief system into what we've got going on here. Joe's belief system.
Wow, you're telling me keep my nose out of your business.
Well, no, Joe is manipulating you and how you view all of this. Joe and he's effectively doing it.
I don't think so.
A sympathetic figure in your eyes, where in my eyes, it's pompous to believe that you are the dominant physical specimen between you and a kid who's 16 years your junior.
I just think what the afternoon show's doing is wrong, and you need to rally by Joe. You need to rally behind Joe. Rhea, you gave me 11% yesterday. What do you think the chances are now that I get John by the end of the show tomorrow?
It's dropped. Yeah, it's dropped.
The wall is back up.
Yeah.
Yeah. 6%?
Yeah, I'm around 6%.
Not great. We'll continue to work on John. Let us know if you think John needs to be more supportive of Joe. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Stephen Woolgrove. What's up, Steve?
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
What's up, Steve?
Listen, Richie Rich, TK, did you ever see Richie Rich's high school football stats, Mechanicsburg high school football stats?
He had Cumberland Valley.
Or Cumberland, yeah, but I'm saying, TK, did you ever see any of his stats?
I didn't. I'm sure they were pretty good, though.
They were good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, we were good.
You were great, dude. Those high school stats
are
phenomenal. So you talking about getting crushed by some great people, dude, you're too humble.
Oh.
I think that's the problem with Joe, John. You're such a humble person, and Joe is not a humble person.
I can't debate that. Joe is absolutely not humble.
That's, yeah. Well, okay, that you're right. I do have a real problem with that.
But he's being very humble with this competition.
It's fake. Rich,
no.
All right.
It's authentic.
Richie Rich. Okay, so after the competition.
Are you crying? Tom's crying right now, Steve.
My contact lens. Is
whatever.
Right now.
Seriously. Steve,
yeah,
something that you said really upset Tom.
No, it's you,
talkative
John.
Tom.
It's you. It's bringing a tear to my eye.
What are you bawling for?
It's bringing
for?
A tear to my eye that you won't support Joe.
Sad.
That's upsetting me right now.
No. He's a tough guy. He's from Upper Moreland.
That's
he's
right. That's
he's
right, Steve.
Don't worry about TK. He
just toss the contact on the ground if you're tough.
I have
guy.
A hard contact lens. I don't have backup. What do you got on the Sixers there, Steve?
Who has hard contact
really?
Anymore, man?
Yeah.
This is
wow.
like, it's not 1972.
Exactly.
It's awful.
It's not 1972,
they not,
man.
They are
go
not comfortable.
Get some,
why do you wear them?
Because it's the only way
it'll
fix my
man.
Eyes. I need the hard contacts.
No way.
What, do you have astigmatism?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay,
everyone has astigmatism.
Not everyone has astigmatism.
Well, why don't you talk to my eye doctor,
most
then?
People have astigmatism. I think your eye doctor
most
is
don't have
antiquated.
Astigmatism.
His eye doctor
now you're making
is,
things up.
You're right. I might be.
most people
and
have
I
astigmatism.
Am not an eye doctor. Not
and
an
now,
eye doctor.
Thanks for violating my HIPAA rights.
I did have eye surgery when I was 5,
okay.
And then I had eye surgery again when I was 25, and then I did go to an eye doctor and I got glasses, so I do have some eye familiarity with stuff.
Well, there you go. Steve, what do you got on the Sixers?
But before that, TK, so Richie Rich,
mm-hmm.
when this competition is over and Joe defeats Jack, will you then acknowledge, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Congratulations, Joe.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, but I can't imagine that would happen in a million years. I will be startled, shocked for, yeah, ever.
You know, I know you're a great guy, and I just hope, you know, when I'm wrong, I admit it, but look, everybody's different.
Yeah,
and
no, I think...
Thanks, Steve.
Does that get me to where you will stop telling me I need to be supportive if I say when it's done, if he gets beaten, wait, if he beats Jack, I can say, congratulations, I was wrong. I did not think that you would be able to do this.
No, when it's over, no. The point is you need to be supportive now.
Why?
Just congratulating him when it's over, that doesn't do anything.
Why?
Because this is the afternoon show has come at the integrity of your show, of your co-host, your co-worker, your producer. I mean, you and Seltzer are very close. They were so disrespectful
I heard the
to
thing
James.
With Seltzer. That was
that
bad.
Was terrible.
That was bad.
And you can't
do you
know,
really
get on
feel,
board.
Do you really feel like heartbroken over that? Like they're sort of
so
like
I'm just crying about it.
They're taunting.
Yeah.
They're
taunting
like
James.
Intentionally
nice.
Taunting and you're falling for that.
Well, it makes me sad, John.
Don't you feel small, like minded that they're taking advantage of your like natural tendencies? Like you're falling
no.
into their trap.
Oh no, I don't think I'm falling into their trap.
They're dangling like here you go, Tom, and you're just going snap.
You're
snap.
You're falling.
Snap,
you're falling.
Snap.
I wish people could
snap.
Check out
snap.
On YouTube this snapping motion.
You know, they're
no.
dangling. They're dangling the
meat afternoon
right here,
show.
And you're going jump, jump.
The afternoon
jump.
Show.
And they're laughing and they're like, ha ha. Look at Tom.
Is
He's
mocking
and
you.
Jumping and jumping.
They are mocking your show every day, and you're not doing anything about it. And I think
well,
that's sad.
I don't hear it, so it well, really doesn't bother me.
You heard it yesterday. Let's go to Gary in Vineland. What's up, Gary?
What's going on?
Hi, Gary. What's up?
How do you go Deion Sanders and not go baseball? He was in the World Series. He batted over 500 in the World Series. They flew him on a jet from a football game to a baseball game. It was like everybody talked about.
Yeah, I mentioned when the guy called
yeah,
in,
I
mentioned that he played baseball.
I couldn't believe that.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
crazy
yeah, that was the whole point, Gary. Yeah. And he played both sports.
He could do it all. And now he's a great coach. And kids really seem to respond.
He's fascinating. The first year, I didn't really care for him. But I watch him. I watch the games. He's way over the top. And I think he hurt his son. His son's draft selection.
Definitely.
But I think he's a really fascinating figure.
It's incredible. You know, you hear now in Cleveland, at least, I don't know what's going to happen with all that. They got four guys competing for that starting job. Yeah. But Shedeur Sanders, like, sounds like he might be the best of the four.
Well, they've got Flacco, who's like, what, 40?
Yeah, yeah. And they drafted the – like, I don't understand why they draft him and Dylan Gabriel. That makes no sense, to draft two rookies. What do you got on the Sixers, Gary?
I'm just so tired of this woe is me. Oh, there was an intern. My son plays high school football. If he doesn't like the workouts that they're doing, he goes on YouTube. He researches. This guy, it's just nonstop. And missing the point. The point not was who leaked the story, Joel. The point was that you aren't going to put the effort in. I'm just so tired of them.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Gary. What do you got for our side topic today?
How about Doornbos, football player?
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, John Doornbos.
Have you ever seen him do it live?
I have not.
It's insane. You don't like. You can't believe people can do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, no.
We did it at we were at Del Frisco's one night. It was part of a charity thing, and he started to, you know, went out to dinner with a bunch of people who bid on it, you know, raise money for charity, and he started doing the magic at the table with just the people around the table. By the time he was done, there was like a audience of 50 people standing around just fascinated by what he did. It was wild.
Yeah. Certainly incredibly talented. Be in the NFL and be a professional magician, that's a lot of talent.
And you know, he also lied on his tape to get into college.
Right, right.
He faked somebody else that it was him.
And then, like, self-taught himself, right?
Yes, correct.
That's a pretty incredible story right there. That long snapping, it's not as easy as it looks. 215-592-9494. But I think Gary kind of, I think, read that story the way I read it, where it's not that there are not valid claims that Joel Embiid makes, but I think when we have the history we've had with him, like, I kind of read it the same way, where a lot of it just felt like more excuse making and more rationalizations for why, you know, he's not wrong and why the team is where they are. And that's the part of it that's frustrating. And again, of all the things in there, I think the most frustrating thing to me was, you know, his response to what happened during the season and Maxey calling him out is the fact that he doesn't get that was wrong. And he doesn't seem to have any regrets whatsoever about going to the Olympics. And I mean, the fact that he doesn't understand that was the wrong decision is kind of crazy, too.
I think thematically, we need to examine something that I found really interesting. The idea of Joel putting money out and leaving it out almost to test those around him.
Yeah.
Dotun Akuntuye says he sort of decoded that it was being done to him.
Right. Now, let's just explain for the audience who hasn't read it. Now, Joel Embiid would leave money out in his house when people would come and go so he could see who he could trust and who he couldn't.
He would leave it scattered everywhere.
Yeah.
And this author, the reporter, I'm not sure what we're calling him, said, hey, why don't you clean that up? You know, why don't you clean the money up? It would, you know, be neater and you wouldn't have to worry about people taking it from you. And then Joel sort of looked at him like, and they almost laughed because it was basically to test whether he, the author of this article, was trustworthy enough for Joel to sort of, you know, allow that layer of protection to, you know, be peeled back. You know, like, he has these tests,
right,
whether he realizes it or not, that he sets up for people in his lives. Trust is a really huge issue here. And the organization itself, he lost his trust in the organization
when with all the injuries and all the problems and things where, you know, he thought they were not having his best interest in mind.
Well, let me ask you this, John. As a professional athlete, from that standpoint, like, because in the NBA especially, when you're the star player, you kind of got to be the leader, too. That's what comes with the job. When you look at things like that, and you are, I guess, distrustful of people, and you're unwilling to kind of connect in that way, does that make it, at the pro sports level especially, like, impossible to be a true leader when you isolate yourself like that?
I think it makes it a lot harder. Yeah. I think that, you know, reading this article, it made me realize Joel is so much more at fault than I, you know, wanted to admit. But the organization and just the situation is also, the organization is at fault. The situation is so at fault for Joel growing into this.
Right.
The NBA is so at fault for the way it has become a breeding ground for exactly what we're talking about here. Guys doing what they want to do and then fans and cities being upset that that doesn't adhere to the same, you know, timeline or the same itinerary that we have in mind for our team.
And another part of it too, like, you'll cut, like, Joel Embiid is obviously he's a very smart guy. Like, I definitely think he's a really intelligent person.
Speaks like five languages.
Yeah. Like, he's an extremely smart guy. And that's why, like, some of this stuff, and one moment I'll always go back to in his career, when it comes to leadership. And I am far from one to defend Ben Simmons. I was as down on Simmons when, you know, he was holding out and doing what he was doing as anybody else. But I do think, like, after that Hawks series, I was so disappointed in Embiid in the immediate aftermath of Game 7. Because if you remember, like, he's asked in the locker room about the game. And he's asked where the game turned. And I'll never forget the way he answered the question. Because he's talking about it and he says where the game really turned. And then he, like, stops for a couple seconds. And I think he knew what he was about to do. And he's like, oh, well, the game turned when essentially Ben didn't dunk the ball.
Which it did.
Right, it did. But you just don't. You don't do that to a teammate, you know what I mean? Like, especially in that moment when Simmons, obviously, right or wrong, is going through it mentally. I never thought that was a very good thing of Joel Embiid
to
do.
Not a great leadership
as a leader.
Moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think those are the kind of things that he never really matured past.
That was a foolish move. That was an immature move, but a move that, holy cow, I certainly would find it hard not to point the finger in that situation.
But I'll tell you,
like,
what,
I
man,
totally understand why he wanted to say, man, you saw it just like I did. The guy's afraid to shoot.
But
the guy won't even dunk it.
He was brutal in that Game 7, too.
Oh,
like,
he was
terrible in that Game 7. He was terrible in the Game 5 when they blew the 26-point lead. They lost Game 4 when they were up 2-1 in the series because he went 0-for-12 in the second half. So that's the thing. Like, I'm not defending Ben Simmons, but Joel Embiid, there was enough accountability to go around in that series where he didn't do his part either. Let's go to Dave in Collegeville. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. How are you? First time caller, long time listener.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Dave.
I'm going to jump right into it because I have so much to say about, like, I love basketball, so this is, like, the topic that I, like, need to talk about. I don't know. I'm, like, 50-50 split, honestly, on both. I feel like you can easily say, like, if you're mad, like you guys were saying about Embiid, you can go that way, or the Sixers. I mean, like, first Embiid, like, you know, first and foremost, like, you know, throughout his career, I feel like he started picking up basketball when he was, like, 17, right?
So, yeah, it was,
you
like,
know, I mean, even there, like, you know, he's a young kid, like, coming into the league, into money he hasn't seen before, all of that. So that ties into his paranoia. Also, you know, development with the Sixers, not going to lie, like, organization has not been great in, you know, really developing players throughout all the years. Even their picks have sucked. So that's hard, too. But at the same time, it's just like every time I see that man on the court, like one time I'm like, holy crap, he's the best player out there. Or the other time it's like, dude, why are you just sitting out at the 3-point line and not driving when you're 7'2", you have so much in your bag and you're not utilizing any of that. Like, you're just settling. So it is so frustrating watching him throughout the years because sometimes I'm like, oh, we're going to make it all the way. And then he just, like, it just seems like he's lazy. So I don't know if that's, is that on him, or is, do you think if he's at a different organization, like, would they develop him better than the Sixers have throughout, like, their track record of years of, like, things like that? Like, it's hard to say because I do put a lot of blame into him. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it's hard to look at the Sixers when you're, like, the process starts with, and then you go Jahlil Okafor, what, Markelle Fultz is in there. Mm-hmm. You get rid of Mikal Bridges that you have there. You know, you draft Furkan Korkmaz, you know, who was nothing. And I think the main quote that really sticks to me for the organization in a nutshell is when, you know, the famous quote, Tobias over me. And I think that really sticks with me. I think that you have a guy in Jimmy Butler that you get rid of, and then subsequent years in game time, game six, 2 points in that series from Tobias Harris. Next year, 0 points in the playoff series. So, you know, it's really hard for me to say, like, objectively, like, I think I'm more tired of Embiid. He needs to go. His time here has been done. But at the same time, like, I just think the Sixers, like, development has just been atrocious.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point, Dave. Do you have an answer for our side topic of somebody who's multi-talented?
Yeah, I'd say Donald Glover, Childish Gambino. You know, he was an actor, singer, songwriter. You know, phenomenal.
Yeah, so that's great one. That's a good one. Donald Glover, musician and actor. And I think Dave kind of encapsulated it well there with Embiid. Is just because it seems the question we're asking today, and the question we're asking today is, you know, who do you blame more, the Sixers or Embiid? It seems so simple, but it's really not an easy question to answer. Like, even throughout the course of the show, I feel like I keep going back and forth.
I've dunked on Embiid for years. But yeah, this organization is a dumpster fire.
Because I thought Embiid, and then he goes through all the moves, and it's like, well, he's kind of right. Yeah.
I literally have to wonder if another organization had drafted him, how much different it would have been for him.
Yeah, it's really...
Not to excuse blame from him, but that team, my goodness.
Yeah, it's really, really hard to kind of decode exactly how it would have gone. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 1 hour left for us. You want to get in on the Sixers, the Joel Embiid article. Who do you place more blame on, the Sixers or Embiid? You're welcome to get in on that. We have Times Yours coming up at 945-215-238-4500. How you get in for Times Yours. And in the next segment, life advice with TK. So you want to get on that. You are welcome to send over your life advice questions, and we'll try to answer them in the next segment. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera. This is the Morning Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.